The following is an encore presentation of one of our top car talk shows.
Yeah, it was right on top of the pile when it came time for our week off. Enjoy it, folks.
Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Divine Justice Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
I think so. This happened in Cambridge, Ohio. Judge Nicholson, a very clever, I guess, and unconventional judge. He found Alan Law guilty of misdemeanor disorderly conduct because he was driving through town in his truck with the windows open and music blaring. Now, that's not good.
From the stereo.
From the stereo of his truck. So what does he do to the guy? Does he fine him money? No. He says to him, you can either pay a $100 fine or you can listen to polka for 4 hours.
Frankie Yankovic!
The guy chooses to listen to 4 hours of
Bud Hundinsky and the polka corsairs.
He didn't have Bud Hundinsky.
No.
He had Frankie Yankovic. And the guy, now that's a clever kind of punishment.
It is.
The guy was listening to modern rock music, and he says, okay.
Could he play it as loud as he wanted to? Well, that was for the first offense. The second offense? Car talk.
Not 4 hours. No one could do that.
No, it would be tough. Anyway, if you have a question about your car or our taste in music or anything else, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kelly from Durham, New Hampshire.
How many E's?
Just one.
Okay.
That's what I wrote. Durham. I've probably been there. What's up?
Probably, but then again, he forgets.
I forget a lot.
What's up, Kelly?
Well, I just moved here from Fairbanks, Alaska, and up in northern Alaska, pretty much everyone has heaters in their car, an oil pan heater, a battery heater, and an engine block heater.
Yeah.
And when I moved here, I asked the dealer to take them out, and he said, oh, no, you need them in New Hampshire. It gets really cold here, but I can't imagine it getting 50 degrees below zero for a long time. So I'm wondering if the mechanic was just lazy or if I really do need him.
I don't think a mechanic would ever be that lazy.
Mm-hmm.
To take something out is easy.
Well, the engine block heater is located where? Do you know? Is it actually been installed where one of the freeze plugs used to be?
I have no idea.
Because that's not easy to take out.
Yeah, you could come back angry if he does it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the first question is, why would you want to take them out? Because you may go back to Fairbanks.
No, she's not. Never.
No,
never.
But even if you, I mean, they're not hurting anything, and they're not interfering with anything, really.
But were you born in Fairbanks?
No, I'm from Connecticut.
And why did you go to Fairbanks in the first place?
A good job.
How good could it have been?
Well, it's one of those things, if you don't go, you'll probably regret it for the rest
of
your life.
Yeah, I know.
Good for you.
Yeah.
How long were you there? About a week?
No, 3 years.
3 years. You mind my asking what kind of job it was?
A professor at University of Alaska.
Oh, so now you're going to work at UNH?
Yep, that's it.
No kidding. If you bump into an old friend of mine.
Les Block.
No. Frank Birch. I heard that he teaches at UNH, and I haven't seen him for like 50, 60 years. Say hello. And
went to third
tell him I miss him terribly.
They went to third grade together.
We did.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I agree with my brother. I mean, why mess around? Leave the stuff in there. I know it's probably a mess. The block heater, I would say that you do need.
Okay. Oh, you might need.
The oil heater you probably don't need. If you have the block heater, you're right. I mean, it's not going to get to be 50 below zero. It's going to get to be zero.
Yeah, and I suspect he didn't want to take them out because they were going to be difficult to undo.
Okay.
So that's why he said that you're going to need them. I mean, no one else I know in New Hampshire has all these things unless they live way up in the mountains.
But there are people who have one of them.
Mm-hmm.
What's the harm? I mean, it's not as though they're right. sucking energy from the engine or they're doing anything bad. I would say...
And you don't have to plug them in.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, just
yeah.
leave it alone.
Leave them alone.
Okay.
And when you relocate to South Carolina, then you can rip them out permanently. See you, Kelly.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks for your call.
Good luck.
Thanks.
1-888.
It's a nice thing to know that you're not going to need your block heater.
Well, she may. There may be one or two days where she'll have it.
That's right. Everyone will be her. She'll be the envy of all the faculty there at UNH.
Well, she'll be the only one whose car starts, and she can run around and pick up coffee for everyone. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is John, and I'm calling from McMurdo Station, Antarctica.
You are? You're not lying, are you?
No, he's not.
I'm telling the truth.
No.
It's cold down here.
As Johnny Carson used to say, how cold is it?
Butt cold.
All right, do you have a block heater, a battery heater, and an oil pan heater?
Well, actually, all the vehicles here have plug-ins, so that's not the problem I'm calling about. I've got a much tougher problem.
Really?
When we travel across sea ice, we sometimes take a large off-road vehicle called a Delta. It has huge tires. And the problem is, if you get up over, say, 15 miles an hour, and you hit a small snowdrift or a crack in the sea ice, it starts bouncing uncontrollably. And if you're riding in the back passenger compartment and you're not strapped in, you're liable to, you know, fly up and hit your head on the ceiling.
Whoa, man. How big are the wheels? Are they like 6 feet tall?
They are like 6 feet tall. And probably, you know, pressure somewhere around, you know, 15 PSI.
15?
Yeah, low.
Yeah.
How much does this thing weigh? What do you call this thing?
The Delta.
It's called a Delta. It's built by a Canadian Foremost, and it has a gross vehicle weight of about, say, 125,000 pounds.
Oh, this thing is huge.
It's about, say, 37 feet long, maybe 10, 11 feet wide, about 12 feet high. It's articulated. The front wheels don't turn. There's a hydraulic system in the middle, and the whole truck bends in the middle.
Oh, great! So where are you guys going that you're in such a hurry? I mean,
well, when we're in a hurry, we take helicopters or we take twin otter ski planes. But when we go sightseeing, we take the Delta. We went the other day down to see the hut where Captain Scott left for the South Pole and never returned, and all the food is still on the shelves there.
No kidding. Bird's eye, frozen dinners.
Did they have any Twinkies?
No, but they had a bottle of Heinz ketchup with a cork in it.
No kidding. How cold is it really? What, give us a thermometer reading.
In town here at McMurdo, it was a warm day yesterday, and it got just to up to freezing.
Yeah, don't forget, they're approaching summer.
Yeah, I know. This is summertime when it gets up to freezing.
Did you bring your Hawaiian shirts?
Listen, when I layer up, I look like Return of the Mummy. I've got so many pairs of long johns on.
You know, to answer your question,
has it always done this?
Well, I've been bouncing around in the back now several times, but I'm a devout seatbelt wearer, so I watch others play the drums with their head on the ceiling.
If we've obviously not seen a lot of these vehicles. Yeah.
Has anyone really checked the tire pressure?
Yeah.
Because
it's warm.
Because now you're in summertime, and the tire pressure may be way up there.
See,
if the last
time
it was checked was in the winter.
If this were a car, we would say, you got too much air in the tires. And when you say it's got 15 PSI in it, it may not.
Well, the men in the heavy shop do that, and I asked about this, and they said that the important thing, as long as it's between 12 and 25, say, is that all tires be inflated evenly, and that they inflate by height of tire, so that you don't have uneven wear or have the vehicle pull in one direction.
Where? You're worried about where? No, I would drop the pressure down to what they think is the lowest acceptable number. And I bet you that's going to improve the ride tremendously.
Okay.
But just in case, wear a football helmet.
I have one more question, and that is I'm heading up to the plateau next week to spend 10 days to 14 days in a tent at 40 below. And I'm wondering, you being experts on cold weather there in Boston,
yeah,
what you recommend for keeping warm?
Oh, do the name Bronco Nagurski mean anything to you?
Oh, yeah. Well, what we generally do to stay warm, I know it's always worked for me, is to come in out of the cold. But that's not going to help you any.
No, I think the tent warms up by 2 degrees, perhaps.
Sounds like you're going to freeze your butt off to me.
I think so. I'll try and keep hold of all my fingers and toes.
All right, good luck.
Hey, good luck to you, John.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Sure.
McMurdo Station.
Jeez. Well, somebody's going to do it. God, it's not us. I mean, what if they did this stuff by lottery?
Oh, I'd defect.
Defect
I'd
to
hide
where?
In Canada. I'd hide in Canada.
I'd go to the North Pole to avoid that duty. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Heidi from D.C.
Hi, Heidi.
Heidi.
Hi.
Heidi, 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 ho. What's up?
Well, I have a Peugeot station wagon, 505. I know. Disaster already.
How old is it?
1987.
No kidding.
Yep.
And
someone had to have left this to you.
That is exactly what happened.
Was there a divorce involved?
No.
And was it nasty?
No, this was an aunt who left this to you.
Actually, my aunt and uncle gave it to me.
Really?
Yeah. And they figured that it would run for a couple months while I had it, and it's been on the road for over a
That's
year.
That's all it ever ran for them.
So you've had it for a year.
Yeah, and there are increasing problems, but the problem that I have for you guys is about 6 months ago, it started making this terrible groaning noise every time that I tried to turn at all, which it didn't affect the way that I drove, but I thought, you know, it got worse and worse, and I figured maybe I should bring this to my mechanic. And she said that there were things that were wearing down, like the rotors or their pistons or something. Maybe this is totally wrong.
Okay, well,
yeah, that
ahead.
Is totally
okay,
wrong,
maybe.
But we'll come up with it.
Okay. Anyway, so she said that it would just gradually get worse and that it would be about $800 to replace, and there are no Peugeot distribution, any kind of centers around here at all. So she said, basically, you know, you could just drive it until you can't turn anymore and you get so frustrated that you just pull over to the side of the road and call Salvation Army and have them come pick it up.
Did she say ball joints by any chance?
Oh, she might have.
Tie rod ends?
Oh, yes, that is what she said.
It's all coming together now.
It's all coming together.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I don't quite understand her advice.
That I should just leave it?
Well, I think you might want to leave it sooner than later.
Really?
The problem is that vehicle has ball joints and tie rods that you cannot lubricate because they're sealed at the factory.
But you can whack them with a hammer.
If it'll make you feel any better. But you can buy, actually, you should be able to buy ball joints and or tie rod ends for that vehicle. They're available.
Yeah. Well, she said they were, but she said it'd be, you know, sort of massively expensive for me to do that.
Well, but the thing is, if you continue to drive it, one of them is going to break.
So am I in trouble? Like, is this dangerous?
Yeah.
Okay.
See, you're in a very untenable position here because you got a car that you know you really shouldn't be driving because nobody wants to fix it.
This is true.
And so every time something goes wrong,
yeah,
you're reluctant to fix it. And yet you say, well, it's not that much money, and I got the car for nothing.
Right.
But you'll never know when should I really commit myself to this car, and when should I just say, I've had it.
Yeah, I don't think I'm committed to this car, but it's done me well for the year. But
yeah, I mean, the fact that they don't make parts anymore does make a commitment difficult.
It is not a long-term commitment vehicle. I mean, it just isn't, unless you can find someone in the area who is in love with these cars. You know what to do? Go to cartalk.com, and we have a thing called the mechanics files.
Okay.
And you can search it by city and by the type of vehicle that you're looking for expertise in.
Okay.
Right. And when your computer stops laughing.
When the computer stops laughing, who knows? You may find someone that does Peugeots. I mean, there is a place in the Cambridge area which has been around. I mean, Peugeot has not been in this market for, what, 25, 40 years, whatever it is. But there's a place in Somerville called Souza Brothers.
Okay.
And these guys won't give up. They're still there.
I like
They're
it.
Fixing Peugeots.
They're still working on the ones that came in 20 years ago.
1971. Yeah. They're still waiting.
The customer
five.
Calls. Don't call. We'll call you.
But, I mean, if you could find someone like that, they would have, you know, sort of underground ways of getting ball joints and tie rod ends and whatever else.
Okay.
And they could keep it going.
Okay. So even it has 192,000 miles on it. Is it really?
Mon
is it,
Dieu!
Sacré bleu!
Oh no!
Oh man! I mean, you got to make a decision. Either you're gonna go for it or you're not.
Okay, but right now it's not safe.
I don't think
it
so. May,
it probably isn't safe.
Okay, that's good to know.
And your mechanic just doesn't want to work on it, and she's trying to be diplomatic. You know,
okay.
Instead of just throwing you out, which is what we usually do.
Yeah, instead of saying, what are you, nuts, get out of here and don't come back.
Okay.
And don't come back.
See you, Heidi.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, Tommy, it's time for us to take a little break so that local stations can identify themselves.
Did you hear that? All you people working at the local stations, wake up, take those earplugs out, get your feet off the desk. We're going to take a break. Identify yourselves.
That's why they call our show user-friendly.
We'll be back in just a minute. Remember the guy who used to be on, wake up!
There's a boneyard in Benton County, backed up against a railroad line. Memories in two-ton Chevys rust away in time. Ghosts are real and made of iron and steel. They bake in the sun, the rain makes them shine. In the boneyard of Benton County, they come alive.
And even though NPR listeners everywhere turn their tote bags inside out whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR National Public Radio. Hey, if you find yourself thinking, you know, this show gets worse every time I hear it, why not check out some classic shows from our archives, like when we used to be good?
When was that?
It's just a figure of speech, you know?
You can download any show from the Car Talk archives at cartalk.com. Just click where it says, listen to the show.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and missing persons.
Yeah.
Does the name Arup Gupta mean anything to you?
Does it ever? And here's an actual letter from him.
We fell in love with this name because this is a fellow that called us on the show a few years ago. And for the first 5 minutes that we spoke to him, all we kept saying was, what a beautiful name.
Arup Gupta.
Gupta. It's like a mantra. It just flows off the tongue.
Arup Gupta.
Arup Gupta. And then he went off the radar screen. We don't know what happened to him. We figured he got deported.
Right. But we know now.
We know now.
And here's why. Dear Tom and Ray, belated Merry Christmas and an early Happy New Year. I was trying to kill time during this prolonged holiday season by indulging one of the favorite pastimes of the times, surfing the internet. I did a search on my name, and lo and behold, I came across letters written by your loyal listeners. I read the letters with considerable interest and thought that I should come out of hiding and set the record straight for your sake as well as that of your local listeners.
I knew it. He's in exile. He's in the witness protection program.
All right. Soon after I called your show, when I lived in Phoenix, Arizona, I returned to India selling my 1987 Nissan Maxima along with all my other earthly possessions. Aparna, his wife, and I had a beautiful daughter there. Her name is Anupriya. Anupriya Gupta.
Like it.
Aparna Gupta. Whoosh. Woo. I hope you are as fascinated and enamored by their names as you are with mine. So now you can have three mantras, Arup, Aparna, and Anupriya Gupta. Like the Hindu trinity, Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwar. in that order, and an increasing difficulty of pronunciation. Yes. I returned to Houston, Texas, earlier this year. This is like one of those Christmas letters.
Right.
put a new roof on my house, and my kid just read War and Peace twice. And he's only three. I returned to Houston earlier this year and acquired a 1999 Honda. Woo! Sounds like Hindu Honda Accord, among other things. So far, touch wood, I have had no need to call Car Talk on account of a car-related problem. So I hope you will read at least a portion of this letter in one of your upcoming shows and lay to rest theories on whether I am a doctor on NYPD Blue, no, or an actor, or have been driving a Mercury Mystique with an Ontario personalized license plate. You will also give some new mantras for your listeners to chant in the new millennium, or some nice new Indian names for their babies. Faithfully, Arup Gupta.
Arup Gupta.
Or Aparna Gupta.
I like Aparna.
Aparna Gupta. Anupriya Gupta. Anupriya Gupta.
If you want to call us about your car, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Gupta Talk. Yeah, who's this?
Hi, my name is Gladys, and I live in Clinton Corners, and I don't have any car trouble. I need your advice.
Where's Clinton Corners, Gladys? What state?
New York.
New York.
Yeah, I'm not far from Taconic Parkway.
Oh, the Laconic Parkway. Yeah, we've been there.
So what's the problem, Gladys?
Well, for Christmas, I got an engine starter, and I heard wonderful things about them. I don't have a garage, and I'm not that young, and I thought, gee, I can warm the car up before I go out. Now I hear horror stories that they ruin your electrical system and you don't have a warranty anymore, and I'm leaving for Florida, and I'm scared to death that this thing, I don't have it put in.
Well, if you're leaving for Florida, are you taking the car with you to Florida?
Yep.
You're not going to need the engine starter in Florida.
No, I know. That's why I decided I'm waiting till I come back and I'll have it put in then. But I just live in fear of breaking down.
What Gladys is talking about, a few other people may not know, is a remote starter. You can attach this device and all the accoutrements to the engine. And from inside the house on those cold winter days when the snow is coming down, you press a little button and the car starts.
Doesn't that sound wonderful?
And by the time you get down there 15 minutes later, everything has melted, the seats are heated,
yep,
the tush is warm.
Right, there,
yep,
are buds on the trees.
Buds on the trees. Flowers are growing in the back seat. The little babbling brook, or the babbling brother, is babbling.
Well, I'm not a big fan of these, and I will tell you that...
Well, don't forget that 25 years ago, you and I worked on the design of one of these. We were hot. We thought this was the idea of,
yes,
the century.
Well, we thought this was a big deal for people that lived in the city. We called it the Manhattan Project. Our timing was a little...
timing was a little off.
My car's going
to blow up. And the reason I don't like them... number one is, first and foremost, I think it's, as a people, it's making us soft.
Yeah.
Well, I'm old. I don't.
Well, that's all right.
You're tough, though, Gladys.
You're gonna
I can tell.
Yeah, you're gonna spend 6 months living in a yurt in Tuvaniska. and then, you know, milking yaks at 5 a.m. And you'll be dying to go out and start your car in a cold winter morning. We don't know what tough is. So I'm opposed to it on that. But more than that, or as much as that, at least, I'm opposed to it on the grounds that if you're not there when your car is running and something happens,
yeah,
you won't know enough to shut it off. Let's say, for example, that you were low on oil,
mm-hmm,
but you were inside the house, you know, making a cup of tea while your engine was running.
Right.
And you could easily ruin the engine.
Oh.
Yeah, oh. Whereas if you were in the car with it running and the oil light came on, you would know enough to shut it off. So that's why I don't like it.
Right. But no big mechanical mess-ups with my car if I have it put in?
No,
right?
It's not going to, you know, assuming it's done correctly,
uh-huh,
it's not going to mess up the car. I mean,
there have been some stories that you've heard, and I've heard too, that incorrectly installed, weird, crazy things can happen.
Like the car can continue to try to start itself.
Right.
In which case, it might chew up the starter motor.
Some One girl told me they put it in and it was too powerful for her car and it blew everything up in her car.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know. My guess is most of these failures are due to faulty installation.
Okay.
I think if you really wanted to have one, you should go to someone who does nothing but this or who specializes in it.
Okay.
And I wouldn't trust it to Dave. Dave is the irregular mechanic.
No, Mike.
Mike.
Or as Larry Moore.
As good a guy as he may be, if he hasn't done these, you don't want him to learn on your car,
right.
Gladys.
Okay.
So I would go probably to a company that installs alarm systems.
All right.
And ask if they'll install this thing. And if they say, oh, they gave you the Cadillac of remote starters.
That's what this is.
Well, if it's
deluxe.
If it's a deluxe version, they'll put it in for you for a nominal fee of a few hundred bucks. And you'll be on your way, and you can even start the thing from Florida.
That's right.
Yeah, when the plane's going to land, you can start the car at the airport. It'll be running for you.
That's what I want to do.
Yeah, I think it'll be okay.
Okay, well, thank you very much. You answered my question. I don't mind getting soft and old. I just want a nice warm car when I go out.
I hope
have a wonderful time.
Hope you're living it up like Wayne Newton. Enjoy yourself.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Or Barry Manilow.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he lives it up.
Does he?
Yeah.
No kidding. Really? No. 1-888-CAR-TALK.
Who is Barry Manilow?
He writes the songs, man. It's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Paul from Aspen.
Hi, Paul from Aspen. How are you?
Aspen?
Yeah.
The ski place?
The ski place.
That's where, like, all those big stars go, and they ski, and they break their legs, and everyone goes to see them and drink coffee with them and stuff like that.
Something like that.
So what's your problem?
Actually, I have a problem with my 91 Nissan Maxima. It's the best car I've ever owned, actually.
Great.
Yeah, it's a great car. But for the past couple months, actually, it's been making some funny noise from the, I think it's coming from the left front wheel well. Anytime I press on the brakes, if you press on it a tiny bit, it won't make it. If you press on it too much, it won't make it. But if you hit this little middle spot, it makes this kind of metallic croaking frog sound.
Like,
not quite like that.
A little higher pitched, perhaps?
A little higher pitch and kind of delicate.
Sort of like F above middle C?
Quite possibly. Actually, I'll try to make the sound for you, but it sounds a little bit more like a duck if you can translate it into a frog. It's kind of like...
Can you do that again?
Hey, that's great.
But see,
you have to do it again.
Do it again.
Okay, one more time.
One more time. When this happens, is there anyone in the car with you?
Oh, God.
And it only happens when the car is moving, right?
Yeah, the car's moving. And it's proportional to, you know, how fast it's going. The rhythm of it will be a lot faster if it's, you know, if I'm going faster.
Hmm.
Well, let's tell you all the things that you don't need.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You don't need a CV joint.
Right.
That would have cost you $300.
You don't need an engine rebuild.
No.
You don't need a transmission rebuild.
No.
You don't need a new glove box door.
No. The heater core, $750. You don't need that either.
Don't you feel good, man?
This is good news so far. You're right.
What does he need?
I have the faintest idea.
I think you have a warped disc rotor.
You do.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you a dangerous question.
Uh-oh.
In that if you give the wrong answer, it could shoot a hole in the whole theory.
Uh-oh.
If you drive it at high speed...
And you step on the brake a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel a vibration or a pulsation in the pedal or a vibration in the car or an oscillation in the steering wheel? Or does your left kneecap get itchy?
Everything depends on your answer to this question.
It doesn't really. It doesn't pull. It doesn't vibrate.
You don't feel any pulsation. See, that's why I was honest, at least. I said I have no idea.
Wow.
Yeah, but then I'm the default mode.
Well, I knew that wasn't going to... I knew you were going to get a bad answer to
no,
that question.
Well, I suspected I might, and that's why I asked it with reservations.
Yeah.
But
and now you're sorry you asked, aren't you? Because do you have a backup? You always.
No. I do not have a backup position.
Oh, you don't?
No, I have a new philosophy now. I'm sticking with it. Now, I think you do have a warped rotor, and I think if you take the thing out and drive it on the highway, you're going to say, oh, my God, I never noticed that I have a pulsation. Huh. It may be very slight. The rotor is so slightly warped that it's not maybe enough to make the car shake or the pedal pulse at high speed.
I don't like it.
But I would be willing to bet if you took it to your shop and asked them to put a dial indicator on that left front disc rotor, that they'd say, oh, my God, it's warped. And if they either replace it or machine it, the problem will go away.
Right on.
Yeah, the other possibility is that the left front wheel's getting ready to fall off. Well, that's the same kind of noise you would get, in fact, if you had a wheel nuts that were loose.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. So you should check that first. It's an unlikely possibility because you'd probably be dead now. Yeah, no, that's why I'm sticking. I'm sticking with it, Paul. I'm sticking with it.
All right. Okay.
All right.
See you later, man.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-882-7285.
Whatever. Any combination of eights and fives.
Yeah.
And so sprinkling a two here and there, and we'll answer the phone.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, Tom and Ray. My name is Michelle, and I'm calling from Wheaton, Illinois.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. Aren't you formal?
Wheaton, Illinois?
Yes. Wheaton, Illinois.
Well, okay. Hello, Michelle. My name is Tom Aliozzi, and it's very nice to talk to you.
Pleasure to meet you.
What's up?
Well, I have a 97 Saturn. It was recently in a car accident. And
it wasn't your fault, though.
No, it was not.
Of course, we knew that.
I'll deny it to the end that it was my fault. The point of impact was the front driver's side tire. So it trashed the suspension and blah, blah, blah.
I'm guessing $1,875 fixed it.
$2,675.
Wow.
It was close.
Yeah. But when I got it home, you know, I took it home, started fine, but the next morning it wouldn't start. Well, I was so angry, of course, I threw a fit in the car, and I pushed on the steering wheel, and when I shoved back in the seat, the dash lights came on.
So you were having a little hissy fit there
sitting
in the car, and you pushed on the steering wheel.
Right.
You say the seat went back?
I went back in the seat, and it rocked the car back, and when the car rocked back, the dash lights went on.
And then the car started?
No. And then it rolled forward and the dash lights went off. So what I did was I put my foot outside of the car and I rocked it back and forth and back and forth and back and forth until I got enough momentum that I could hit the ignition switch when the lights came on and it started.
All right, so?
So what's wrong with this?
Doesn't anyone screen these calls? I mean, do we let any wacko just call us and talk to us?
Yeah, I mean, do we deserve this? What did we do wrong? Why us? Why us?
Come on, man. This is NPR. I mean, would Robert Siegel put up with this nonsense?
Yeah, even Ron Williams doesn't get calls this bad.
I said I have a wacko car question. I know the number to call. That's what I said.
I don't even understand the question.
No, she's not getting current. The car is dead. I'd be willing to bet that when you turn the key on, nothing works whatsoever.
Correct.
Even the headlights? Have you tried the headlights?
Even the headlights.
Okay. Even the headlights.
Nothing worked.
I think you have something as simple as a loose chassis ground.
Yeah.
There's a wire that goes between the engine and the chassis of the car and then eventually to the battery. And that is the ground path or the return path for all the electricity that comes out of the battery to run your heater, your wipers, your radio, your headlights to start the car.
Right.
So if the electricity can't get back...
We call them little Eddie and Edie Electron.
We do, huh? Okay. So if little Eddie Electron can't get back home, then he won't leave.
I see.
So if the return path has been interrupted somehow, then nothing in the car will be stone cold dead. And rocking the car is moving stuff around enough so that you finally do get it started. I would recommend that you take it back to them immediately because if you have a bad ground connection, you can burn things up.
That would be bad.
Yeah. That would be bad, yeah.
Hey, Tom and Ray, thanks a lot.
Hey, Michelle.
See you, Michelle.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Hey, listen, we need to take a quick break. The president of the network just came by, and apparently he wants to have a word with us.
A word? One word? What can he possibly convey to us in one word?
Sayonara?
Well, stay tuned. We'll be right back in just a minute. Maybe.
Your horn don't honk, clock don't stop. Just bring your car over me and leave it in my shop, cause I'm an automobile mechanic. Just put your rig up on my rack. Yeah, your engine will be humming when you get your little car back. Yes, I can grind your valves, straighten out your wheels. Don't work on jalopies, only fine automobiles. I'm an automobile mechanic. Just put your rig up on my rack. Well, your engine will be humming when you get your little car back.
And even though the NPR elocution coach sobs into her chamomile tea whenever she hears us say it, this really is NPR, National Public Radio.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and not the new Puzzler.
Not the new
Puzzler. The Puzzler happens to be off this week.
Yeah, it's holed up in the inky shadows of a dimly lit Car Talk Plaza library doing some groundbreaking research on the subject of, what, unclarity.
What happened to the bogosity study?
It's unclear.
Okay, well, the Puzzler will be back next week. In the meantime, you can find our most recent Puzzler posted on our website, cartalk.com. And if you'd like to talk to us about your car, or anything for that matter, the number is, as always, 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Erin, and I'm calling from Silver Spring, Maryland.
Erin?
Yes.
Hi, Erin.
Silver Spring, yeah.
What's going on?
Well, I've got a 2002 Subaru Impreza Outback Sport Wagon, and about a year and a half ago, I was working as a statistics instructor.
Really?
And I was driving to work one day, and it happened that the lesson for that day is made better if I can have a visual aid.
Yes.
And the visual aid was a couple hundred small wooden beads.
Oh.
And I had them sitting on my passenger seat, and I was driving, and I took a turn too hard, and you can only imagine what happened. They went all over the passenger seat floor and quickly disappeared.
So
as soon as I could stop the car and get out, I was at school and I picked them all up and I put as many as I could. But there was still, I figure, probably about 100 or 50 that were still roaming around in my car. And so they're still there. And I don't know if this is bad. Is this harming my car? Is there a way to get them out? It's just the strangest thing.
I'm confused about where they went.
They went under the floor, under the mats. And I picked up the mats, nothing.
How big were these things?
Well,
like marbles?
No, smaller. They're only maybe about 6 millimeters.
6 millimeters. Okay, it's a quarter of an inch in diameter.
Yeah, little.
All right, more importantly, what was the demonstration you were going to do?
It was about sampling distribution.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah.
The bell curve thing, right?
Yes,
exactly. It's a great demonstration. I started at the World's Fair in 1963. My brother started at the World's Fair in 1863. Yeah,
right.
No, IBM had a very wonderful display.
If they're gone anywhere, first of all, they're probably under the seats.
Oh, you know where they could be? There are heating ducts that convey heat to the back seat. Back in the old days, if you sat in the back seat of a car, tough noogies, you got no heat. Because you only got the heat that happened, that the front seat passengers didn't soak up. So if you had some heavy hitter sitting in the front, his body or her body soaked up all the heat, and people in the back got nothing. But manufacturers have come to put ductwork underneath the front seats that actually takes some of that heat and sends it via these ducts.
Right to the back seat. So people in the back get a little warm
a little
as
heat
well.
On their feet. And in some cases, they even send stuff up to vents that are on, like, the B or C pillars, okay? So my guess is that that's where your beads are.
Now,
can you hear them roaming around?
If the radio's turned down and no one else is in my car, every time I stop quickly or if I make a curve, I'll hear them. I'll just hear them. And then the weird thing is, every once in a while, one will just appear.
Here's what you do. Find a really steep hill and park facing up the hill.
Okay.
Put on the emergency brake, put it in park.
And then shake the bejesus out of the car.
Exactly. Get in the front of it, you and your husband, and start jumping up and down on the bumper.
Oh, and that's not going to hurt anything else?
It's not going to hurt anything else, and you're going to find the back seat full of these little things.
And if nothing else, it'll give passers-by something to chuckle at.
What the hell are they doing?
You could try a good old-fashioned vacuum cleaner, too.
Okay.
You know, if you had that crevice tool.
It's not
the one for you could get that in the ductwork and maybe suck them out.
Okay.
But rest assured, I don't think they could last more than 25 or 30 years in there. I mean, and like you say, one of them every once in a while makes an escape.
Okay, but they're not getting into the engine and messing around with stuff in there.
There's no place they can go, really. No,
and if you really were desperate, you could take out the seat and the ductwork and all of that stuff. And you
wouldn't be worth it.
You can get them all out. But I think Tommy's idea is good. Shake it up, baby.
Okay. Yeah.
Let us know. Count them if you want.
Yeah, you say you started out with 200?
I think it was almost 300 to 400 in the container.
Well, see, find out how many come out. I'll bet you'll get at least 100 out.
I think so. There was a lot missing.
Yeah, this could be one of your statistics classes too, you know. Good luck, Erin.
Thanks very much.
See you later.
Okay, bye.
That's always the way.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Kurt in Glenburn, Maine.
Kurt with a C?
Oh, no, with a K.
And with a U or an I?
K-U-R-T. Very German.
Uh-huh. Mm. See, and if you had been something else like Scandinavian, it would be K-I-R-T.
Don't get cocky. just warning you now.
Well,
Kathy with a K, Kurt with a C. Come on!
Where'd you say you were from? I wasn't paying attention.
Glenburn, Maine.
All right, Kurt, spill your guts.
Spill my guts. I have a 95 Ford Contour with a manual transmission.
Yeah.
And about 2 weeks ago, it started doing this very strange thing where if I am sitting still, the engine running, I can shift into any gear I want, and it works fine. I can take off in first. I can get into second. And as I start going faster and faster, it becomes more and more difficult to shift or downshift into anything.
Have you ever, at a stop, you stopped,
yeah,
but you've got your foot on the gas pedal and you're revving up the engine while you're trying to shift?
No, I haven't done that.
Do that and call us back.
Yeah, why would you do that anyway?
No, I don't think we need the answer to that, but it would tell us whether it's related to the motion of the car or the speed of the engine.
Right.
But when you're shifting from first to second, which you claim is difficult.
Let's say I'm going 20, it's not all that hard. And the faster I go, it becomes, at some points, I can't even shift. I can't get it into any gear at all unless I slow down the car or stop on the side of the road.
Right. Now, the fact that I've never worked on one of these cars will not in any way prevent me from giving an answer.
Have you ever seen one of these cars? On the road?
No, and in fact, I have test driven.
Oh,
when this car first came out, we test drove the car.
It's not a bad car. It's front-wheel drive. I don't know if that makes a difference.
Well, it does make a difference.
I think it does make a difference.
It does make a difference. I think what's happening to this thing is you have a broken or weak motor mount or a shifter. This probably has a shifter cable or cables.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow or another, things are getting moved around. Either the motor is shifting around or the transmission such that you are no longer lining up the gears correctly when the thing is in motion. And that would explain why it's harder to shift the faster you go, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this would happen even if the car weren't moving, but if you were revving the engine.
Mike, okay. No,
because
Mike.
The torque of the engine is what's causing the problem,
yeah,
I think.
No, I think so. I think you're going to be moving.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
You want to make a bet? I'll bet if he goes out right now.
I've already cleaned you out, man. You got no money left. How could you win? What is the bet with?
I opened my mouth the other day. It cost me $100.
Yes.
I'll bet you $100. Just rev it up to 2,000 RPM and try to get it in first, and I'll bet you'll have trouble doing it.
Is the car outside?
Yes.
You have 2 minutes to go and try it? We'll put you on hold, and we'll talk to another caller.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Sure.
We got nothing better to do.
Come on, there's $10 in it for you.
Seriously.
If you give us the right answer.
Okay, so here's the test. You're going to just put it
in. First, you're going to try it with the engine idling, and it's going to shift easily, according to you.
Uh-huh.
Then you're going to rev it up so it's screaming. Not too much, but up to 2,000 RPM.
As fast as you want. 3,000, 3,500.
Right. And then you're going to try to put it in first, and it's going to be much harder to get it into first the second time, I'm saying, and I'm willing to put $10
this. Try all the gears, Kurt.
Okay. Just
try whatever you want.
$20 all right, I'll
you.
Do that. See ya.
Thanks.
We'll talk to you in a minute.
We'll put you on hold.
All right. I'll be right back.
Thanks, Kurt.
in the meantime, we'll discuss something else, which is of I'm sure interest to everyone.
Yeah. If you happen to be on our website this week, cartalk.com, you might want to check out the results of our Guy Car Chick Car survey. You may remember a couple of weeks ago, we got a letter from some woman who wanted to get her teenage son a car. She was afraid she would accidentally get him a chick car. So we asked people to tell us which cars were chick cars, and here's what they said so far. The top three chick cars.
As we predicted, I believe.
We did predict.
Well, we didn't predict the third one.
The very top chick car is the new VW Bug.
Yeah, any car they put a flower vase in is going to be a chick car. I mean, come on.
Of course. I mean, they made it a chick car. The second one is the VW Cabriolet. They're big into females, huh?
Yeah.
And the third one, which was a surprise to us, is the Mazda Miata.
As you might expect, the top three guy cars are the Ford Mustang.
Yeah.
The Chevy Corvette and the Chevy Camaro.
Yeah, well, that's a given. It's all a given. I mean, those are no surprise.
None of these is a surprise. The real question becomes, if you're looking for chicks, should you drive a chick car?
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, you think the theory is that if you go out and buy, you're 6'8" and you're going to go out and buy a VW Bug, and therefore you're going to attract chicks?
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
No, and on the other hand,
the car will attract the chicks, and they'll ask you if they can take it for a ride, and they'll leave you standing there at the curb. You'll never see them or the car again.
That's right.
Yeah,
but on the other hand, I don't think that driving like a Ford Mustang or a Chevy Corvette is going to be a magnet for the chicks either. They're just going to think you're stupid.
They're going to think that you're a muscle car freak, and if they're not interested in that kind of guy. So the question is, if you're interested in attracting members of the opposite sex,
you have to have an expensive car.
Not necessarily.
I think so.
Oh, no.
Let's say you were a 23-year-old stud in our fair city.
Well, if you're a stud, you don't need to drive anything. Well, the girls are picking you up.
What would you drive?
I've tried everything.
I'm reduced to the subway. I figure that's my best shot. My 74 Caprice Classic convertible I thought was going to be powerful.
No, I think the real question is, what do you drive if you want to get noticed?
Yeah, that's the real
by
question.
By the member of the opposite sex. I mean, what's the most likely car?
So if you're a female, here's the question. If you're a female, A, does the kind of car that a male is driving have any influence at all on whether you might be interested in him? And what kind of car is it that makes you interested? And if you're a male, same question for females.
It doesn't. No, they're not parallel.
They're not parallel.
No, because for guys, if the female is a carbon-based life form, that's good enough. Right? I mean,
and we can't leave out the gay community because, I mean, if you're a lesbian and you're interested in, what car would you be interested in if you're looking for another woman?
Right.
And the same thing with another guy. I want to hear this. This is important.
This is important.
This is very
stuff.
Important. This is the kind of stuff that goes into the caroscope.
It is the only important stuff. Anyway.
Is Kurt back?
Do we have Kurt back?
Yes, I'm back.
Hey, Kurt, baby.
Hey.
All
right. Now, I'm not going to say anything. I'll let you and my brother discuss everything.
I'm not going to say anything either. I don't want to influence this outcome. I just want to know what happened.
Okay. Well, I don't have a tachometer on the car.
Yeah.
If I got it, revved up pretty good and shifted, there was absolutely no difference. But if I got the thing fairly screaming, like that, and tried to shift, it became very hard.
Ah! That's it.
I want a recount.
You said the car had to be in motion. Kurt.
Yes.
Was the car in motion?
No, the car.
Give
was
me the
motion.
$10. Come on.
Did you take a check?
I got to get you a check right here.
Okay. Well,
whatever.
Obviously, we can't be of any help to you, Kurt. But I'm going to...
It is a motor mount.
I'm going to go back and say the clutch is no good.
Nah, come on. It's a motor mount. Of course it's a motor mount.
Because the motor mounts aren't doing anything when he's in neutral, when he's not moving. He's not causing the engine to move very much.
Yes, he is.
No, I don't buy it. Either that or the motor mount is so broken.
Well, I really had to get it really screaming for this.
No,
to make
if you get any engine really screaming, there is no car which you can shift into first or reverse.
Okay? Did you try any other gears?
Yeah, I tried them all.
Yeah, and
every action there is an equal and opposite reaction.
I'm sticking by Kurt.
Yes.
Don't listen to my brother. He's nuts. Every car, if you get the RPMs high enough, is difficult to get into any gear from neutral.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. So what's the bet now? You're betting that it's the clutch, and I'm.
No, I'm not betting it's the clutch. I'm still sticking with the motor mount.
Well, that's what I said.
But you have the wrong reason, and the reason counts for everything.
Well, who owes who $10 then?
Berman owes us both $10.
Hey, Kurt, get the motor mounts checked because that's what it is.
Okay.
We don't know why, but that's what it is.
All right.
See you later.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for your help. Love the show.
Kurt's shaking his head in bewilderment.
He's saying, what did I waste my time with those jerks?
How can they both have different explanations and have the same answer? Well, it's happened again. You've blown off another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Blown off. That's a good description, huh?
Yeah.
Our esteemed producer is Doug, the subway fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the barbarian, and David, the calves of Belleville Green.
Oh.
Our senior web lackey is Doug, the old gray mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parotti. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Central Square, Pomme de Terre, Prickly Pear, Rabbit Rare, Sole Meunier, Angel Hair, Chilled Sancerre, Baked Eclair, and Gummy Bear Open Air Lunch Affair is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our second shift meteorologist is Cloudy Overnight. Our food taster is Howard M. Burgers. Tommy's memory coach is Hugh Sherlock Familia. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luce Cruz. Our anger management counselor is Tara... Oh, no. Our Russian chauffeur is Pekov and Dropoff. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Paint-Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Paint-Diaz, who are the proud parents of a teenage daughter, Sasha Paint-Diaz, and a brother in the military, Major Paint-Diaz, and a two-year-old, Ariel Paint-Diaz, and they have a dog, Toto Paint-Diaz, and a distant cousin in Mexico City, Jaime Royal Paint-Diaz, and a recently discovered uncle from Warsaw, Zbigniew Paint-Diaz. And the head of our working mother support group, of course, is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the ex-campaign managers reading tarot cards in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember, don't drive like Tommy.
And don't drive like Randy.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. CDs of the show, which is number 901, along with Car Talk clothing, audio collections, and other Car Talk gifts, are available at 888-CAR-JUNK or by going to the Shameless Commerce division of our website, cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, we're posting a link to our new Car Talk page on Facebook.
Facebook, huh? I thought we'd be on paper bag over your Facebook.
Yeah, we should start that for people like us. But anyway, you can now become a friend of Car Talk on Facebook.
How many friends do we have as of, say, this morning?
I don't have an exact number, but...
You know, give me approximate.
Approximately zero.
Even our buddy Carl Castle didn't friend us?
He says he has too many friends already.
Our own kids?
Closed their Facebook accounts yesterday.
Well, all right. Well, if you want to see our lonely Facebook page, the link's there all week at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the NPR lunch lady mixes up two Ipecac milkshakes whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.